You're listening to the FQXI podcast. Welcome to another special edition of the podcast from the Foundational Questions Institute, bringing you the best talks from the recent FQXI meeting in Tuscany in July. I'm Zia Morali, and today we're talking transhumanism with Susan Schneider. Schneider is a philosopher, cognitive scientist, and the director of AIMS, the AI Mind and Society Group at the University of Connecticut. And you're about to hear the full audio from her talk on design ceilings on enhancing the human mind. Schneider asks you to imagine a future where you can add chips to your brain to enhance your skill set. Let's say to make you better at doing calculations, to turn you into a musical savant, or to be more successful at meditation. Would you agree to such upgrades? How about agreeing to a full mind merger with AI? If you're tempted by this, then do listen to Schneider to the end as she raises a worrying philosophical issue here. At some point, you won't be enhancing yourself any longer. You will have killed yourself, and you'll actually be enhancing a new being.
So I'm going to talk to you about mind design and whether there might be enhancement design ceilings on intelligence augmentation in humans and whether AIs or other sorts of creatures might outthink us. Okay, so first off, of course, the evolution of the brain had its own constraints like metabolic demands, but AI-based brain enhancement tech has opened up a vast design space, offering novel ways to explore the space at a rate that's much faster than human evolution. So mind design is a form of intelligent design, right? But we humans, not some god, are the creators. Businesses like Google and Facebook will be attempting to do mind design. So nothing should go wrong, right? Shouldn't be a problem. Okay, so today I'm going to talk about the idea of a mind-machine merger. And just a few days ago, Elon Musk came out with a new announcement about Neuralink. So that's a good one to bounce this talk off of. And he said that humans can escape being outmoded by AI and keep up with super intelligent AI, which he's worried about, by having some sort of merger of biological intelligence and machine intelligence. Now, Neuralink is looking toward eventual implantable chips in the brain, allowing data to transmit from your brain to your digital devices as the first step in this mind-machine merger. There's a lot more work than just this, especially in the domain of neural prosthetics as opposed to enhancement. So DARPA has been working very eagerly and intensively on ways to help through the use of invasive brain technologies, people with mental illness, post-traumatic stress disorder, and of course, Ted Berger, in tandem with DARPA and at his university labs, has been doing really impressive work on the artificial hippocampus. It's actually in clinical trials in the human case. They're putting the technology in people's heads as we speak, and I do hear that there have been some successes. So in any case, this is already going on at the beginning level, and of course, the future is a giant unknown, and we don't know that invasive brain chips will actually be what works in the context of human enhancement. But in today's talk, I'm going to pursue the idea of merging with AI through the use of invasive AI in the head and ask whether this would actually be a sensible path toward human flourishing. Transhumanists like Musk, Ray Kurzweil, now a director of engineering at Google, Nick Bostrom, and those at the Future of Humanity Institute often offer the following trajectory for the development of the human mind. So you start with a 21st century unenhanced human, and then that person, over time, gets significantly upgraded with cognitive and other physical enhancements. And through these enhancements, including enhancements that bring about longevity, they eventually become post-human and no longer technically human. And then the idea is at some point, you find this especially in Kurzweil's work, the human becomes herself a superintelligent AI, a creature that outthinks a human in every domain, scientific reasoning, social capacities, mathematical skills, and more. Okay, now, you might think this is ridiculous, but remember that a lot of companies are actually intrigued by it, and there's all sorts of research that is very transhumanist inspired right now. The next big wave of AI may very well be inside the head, and there's initial work all over the place on this. And if you even do a public search on the FDA clinical trials database, you will find hundreds of clinical trials on invasive brain implant technologies. Big pharma is all over this. Okay, so I'm going to call the view that says that these enhancements will eventually involve replacing parts of the brain with AI components, fusion optimism, because this view, it also embraces the above trajectory. And so the aspiration is not just a limited integration with artificial intelligence, but a full-on merger with AI. Okay? So is this in the human future? Well, these issues, they're futuristic, but to remind people how important they are, if you like the issue of the nature of mind, which I suppose you all do because you're at this conference, notice that if we can merge with AI, then we've just learned that consciousness can actually transcend the brain, right? If you can replace parts of the brain with chips and just keep going until you upload, then we've learned that consciousness transcends the brain. That's obviously a deep age-old question. But these issues, as I stress in my new book, also involve the future of humanity. And I think they also, as you'll see by the end of my talk, I hope, involve active discussions about AI regulation so that we can avoid cyberpunk dystopian situations in which you see a perverse realization of AI technology such that it doesn't lead to human flourishing, it actually brings about the opposite. Okay, all this being said, I'm going to suggest, well, I think I'm only going to get to one design ceiling today. My next book's on this topic, but I just briefly did a piece in the New York Times, a couple pieces, New York Times op-eds on this topic. And the first design ceiling that I think may exist that stops our enhancement is that if microchips fail to underlie conscious experience, there'll be a sort of consciousness ceiling so that enhancements will actually be limited to the non-conscious elements of the brain. You might say, well, we can still radically enhance because much of what the brain does involves non-conscious computation. However, to the extent that working memory and consciousness are central to the neural basis of conscious experience, those areas are central, there are going to be massive attentional bottlenecks because our working memory and attention is notoriously slow. So all of the perceptual enhancements and enhancements from other non-conscious parts of the brain aren't really going to be synthesized. So there is a possible design ceiling if it turns out that microchips are the wrong stuff for consciousness. I'm not going to spell this out in any detail today. What I'm going to do instead is I'm going to focus on the second ceiling. This second ceiling, in contrast, isn't about consciousness. It is about the survival of the self or person. This self ceiling is a point beyond which the person who attempts to enhance is no longer the same individual as before. Okay? For the procedure causes the individual who sought to enhance to cease to exist. So there's more ceilings as well, but I'm not going to get to those today. I'm going to skip the consciousness ceiling in interest of time, but it's discussed in my new trade book, Artificial You, AI and the Future of Your Mind, coming out October 1st. Okay, so let's turn to the self-ceiling and ask, what are you? So suppose you go to a futuristic center for mind design, but it is at some point in the future, and neuroscientists have developed techniques for cosmetic neurology to upgrade people who wish to enhance their brains. So there's a menu standing in front of you, and on the menu are options like Zen Garden, for Zen-level meditative states to make you more efficient at work. That sounds great. Human Calculate to make you a better calculator. Musical Savant to help you become, you know, like a musical genius and whatnot. And finally, there's one called Merge. Merge isn't quite available yet, but if you sign up for it, it's a series of procedures that will allow you to go from adding a few chips to your brain, like Zen Garden, to cumulatively replacing your entire brain with chips over time as the enhancements are developed. So Merge is for radicals. All right, so let me ask you this. How many of you would get a chip in your head? Okay, all right, all right. I'd get like the student names chip. Right. How many of you would go for Merge?
And just a quick interjection here. You heard Schneider polling the room. I'd say roughly a third of the audience raised their hands to the possibility of adding the odd chip. Only a handful of brave participants would be happy to try the Mind Merge. For what it's worth, I didn't say yes to either.
All right. All right. Okay. People are maybe undecided in this room, but some of you would do it. Okay, so what I want to do is suggest that, I know this is going to sound strange, but brain enhancement technologies that involve invasive use of things like brain chips, like taking out actual parts of neural tissue, may have intrinsic limits, philosophically speaking, even if the technology is good. That is to say, this AI technology may fail to do its job for philosophical reasons. Let me explain. Consider that as you walk into the center, you're doing it because you're hoping to enhance yourself. But in order to understand whether you should enhance, you have to understand what you are. And you really need to understand what it is to be a self or a person. Right? And of course, this is an age-old question in philosophy, because the real question here is, would you continue to exist after radical enhancements like removing much of your brain and changing your cognitive life in radical ways, or would you have actually been replaced by someone else? In that case, the enhancement isn't advisable, at least to the extent that you walked into the Center for Mind Design believing you were enhancing yourself. Okay? So this is a long-standing issue in the field of metaphysics. There's a literature on the nature of the self. That literature is called Personal Identity, and it asks, what is the nature of the self or person? Now, it's hard to get all this across in a few minutes, but if you consider the metaphysics of everyday objects, it will help understand what I'm getting at. So suppose you're getting an espresso shot, and you're reading the literature on personal identity, you're getting obnoxious, and you ask someone, is the machine the same machine that existed an hour before, even though the knob has changed? Now, that seems absolutely ridiculous to ask. But if I took out a ray gun while you were trying to get your coffee and completely decimated the espresso machine, you would probably be inclined to say that that machine no longer existed. That is because the machine has certain properties that are essential to its existence. Philosophers call these essential properties. And what I'm asking here is what properties are essential to your continuation over time, in virtue of which you, in some very rich philosophical sense, are the same person you were when you were 5 years old, say. Okay, this is a hard question, and my problem, then, is that the merger wouldn't work. So even if enhancement brings such goodies as superhuman intelligence and radical life extension, you'd actually be enhancing someone else and inadvertently dying. So you might want to read the personal identity literature and think about under what conditions you actually survive over time to the extent that you believe you survive to begin with. Otherwise, the sharper mind and fitter body would actually be experienced by someone else. Got it? Okay, so that would be a perverse realization of AI technology. Even if merging with AI, to go back to Elon Musk and his point, does in fact help with the control problem, that is the problem of staying on top of the computations of super intelligent AI, and even gives you advantages in the workplace so as to deal with technological unemployment. Okay, what are the theories of the nature of the person, you might ask? Well, I only have a few minutes, but obviously a leading theory is that you are your brain. And let me just point out that if you try to merge with AI and scoop out parts of your brain, you probably are going to die. But the transhumanists like Kurzweil and Bostrom, who know of this issue and write about it too, they often adopt what is called the psychological continuity view. On this view, you are essentially your memories and your psychological configuration, what Kurzweil often refers to as your pattern. Kurzweil has the following, well, he has a version of this that I think Bostrom often endorses. What is essential to you is your computational configuration, the sensory systems and subsystems your brain has, such as early vision, the association areas that integrate the basic subsystems, the neural circuitry making up your domain general reasoning, your attentional system, your memories, and so on. Together, that forms the algorithm that the brain runs. You are that algorithm. Okay, so other views, and then I'm going to attack this, I hope, if I have time. Soul view, obviously, you know, who knows if your soul will upload. I'm not going to go there today. No self view. Very influential in philosophy, and I think people like Bostrom are also sympathetic to that. Connected to Hume, the Buddha, the philosopher Derek Parfit, and on this view, there is no survival, there is no self. So you could enhance, right? I mean, because you're not going to continue existing anyway. So you might believe that enhancing will maximize human flourishing, the flourishing of sentient beings that, well, they're not technically selves or people, but there's still consciousness in the universe. So should you merge with AI then? Well, I mean, the patternist view, okay, that's the one that all these transhumanists like. So let me try to attack that in 5 minutes, okay? And, you know, the patternist view has lots of problems with it. And one that's absolutely key in the literature on the subject raises a reduplication problem. And it's just the simple problem that if you upload or copy your program, then which, say, download is actually you? I mean, is the person actually something which can exist at multiple places in a single time? That does boggle the mind, but perhaps so, but it would be a macroscopic object with those features, and that is highly unusual. Many people who learn of the reduplication problem in the literature decide that they're going to add a new constraint to their theory. That constraint is simple. The enhancements have to be subject to a sort of spatiotemporal continuum, a space-time worm. So you are essentially your worm through time-space, so any enhancement which breaks the worm, you shouldn't do. Okay, now, I don't think the transhumanists like Musk and Kurzweil realize that that's what is going on with the debate, because notice that if you add that additional constraint to the theory, then it's not even advisable to upload, and your merger with AI could get really weird, even if you're just using invasive brain enhancements. So I think there needs to be some work on this. In addition to this, there's the issue with what is it, when is it that your pattern continues and doesn't continue? So that is to say, when is it that the pattern ends and a new pattern begins? Because when the pattern ends, you die. Okay. One could perhaps still merge with AI through gradual enhancements, especially if you were super careful on the space-time worm front. And, you know, the problem there would be, first off, as I said, it rules out uploading. And second off, we don't know when the pattern really continues and when it ends. So it may be then that deleting a few bad chess-playing habits is kosher, and maybe adding Zen Garden is even okay, but at some point, and you don't know what the point is, you've actually killed yourself when you tried to enhance. That's pretty awful. So for this reason, I suggest that there is a potential design ceiling on human enhancement that is called the self ceiling. And I think this ceiling is really awful. It's really awful because I think the debate on personal identity has no easy solutions, and it's a long-standing philosophical controversy. Try to figure out how you would run a test to find out what theory of the nature of person is true. Is there a way we can test to see, for example, that the mind is the brain? Is there a way that we can test whether the psychological continuity view is true? Remember, somebody who uploads, they may have actually been that person who stood on the scanner and uploaded may actually have been replaced by someone else, and that person will believe that they're the first person. So they will have all of the memories of the first person. So try to devise a test. What I'm saying as a philosopher is this is a super difficult issue, and so the way that we need to deal with the future of brain enhancement technology is, and here I have written some suggestions just yesterday for you. I'm just going to skip to them. Watch results of projects using implanted brain chips to replace parts of the brain responsible for consciousness. This will tell us whether there's a consciousness ceiling. So I'm optimistic that we will finally learn the whether consciousness could inhere in another substrate as we develop brain implant technology. So I think the consciousness ceiling isn't as difficult or intractable as the self ceiling. But what do you do about the self ceiling? Well, here's what I suggest. Should you ever stroll into a center for mind design, consider sticking to enhancements that are compatible with all the theories of personal identity that you care about. Right? I mean, you may not be able to rule every theory out. So if you're going to enhance, make sure that enhancement is kosher according to all the theories of personal identity that you care about. Public engagement. So the public's already super confused about the nature of self and issues involving conscious AI. So I would encourage, and this is very convenient for me because I am married to an FDA regulatory attorney, FDA regulations of future brain enhancement devices force people to learn a little bit about the personal identity literature. It may sound funny, but think about genetic counseling. If you're going to take a genetics test, I believe that many hospitals require you to sit down with a genetic counselor to understand the important issues, the ethical issues. And even enhancements that merely involve the rapid or gradual replacement of parts of your brain without even upgrading or augmenting your cognitive or perceptual abilities could be risky because the brain could be essential to the self. So you wouldn't want to scoop out chunks of brain and replace it with AI components. Stick to biological fixes, not implantable chips that require the removal of neurotissue. Of course, it could be that you use a chip that merely goes on the brain and doesn't require the removal of tissue, right? But eventually, those enhancements will run out of space in the head. Finally, perhaps seek limited integration with AI if you're a technophile through external devices or implants that do not remove existing brain tissue, but watch out for breaks in psychological continuity if you're impressed by the psychological continuity theory. Okay, thank you.
That was Susan Schneider speaking at FQXI's 6th International Meeting in Tuscany in July. On the podcast page, fqxi.org/community/podcast, we'll be linking to her book, Artificial You, AI and the Future of Your Mind, which is published by Princeton University Press and addresses some of the issues she discussed. We'll have more from the meeting, including analysis on the blog, audio of the talks, slides and videos, so do check out the website for more. You can always contact us with your thoughts by commenting on our forums or reach us on Twitter at FQXI, on Facebook at FQXI Physics, or by email at podcast@fqxi.org. That's all for now, but do subscribe to the podcast for more. I've been Zia Morali. Thank you for listening.